Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, my goodness, we had a smashing time over here on his Due Time with Pastor Steph as he started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Relationship Clinic. And we had Pastor J.O. and Lady Nicole Burns. And oh, the conversation with them was fantastic as we spoke about external threats in a relationship. Yes, oh my goodness. Oh, we started off talking about the finances. Finances can be such an external threat, can rip up a relationship when everybody is not on the same page and one is spending all willy-nilly and the other one is concerned about how we spend God's money. Yes, you can't do what you want to do and you're not consulting your partner. Yes. Well, how about selfish versus selflessness? Yes. Oh, that one was a good one. A definite external, internal, external threat. Yes, because we have to start with the people who's in the relationship. Yes. And that outside influence causes you to be selfish opposed to selfless, and you just don't seem to have your priorities together. It's not a one-man show. So we had a fantastic time with them, and we really hope to hear from them again. And we could not finish off a Monday morning without that switch tip from Shanti. And stop keeping the problem alive was the switch tip for the week. Yes. And it went right along with the relationship conversation. You know how it goes, how we do it over here. It always seems to pair. And, you know, stop keeping the problem alive. You know, we talked about the external threats of finances, of being selfish, of children, of television, of the cell phone. You know, when you either see that something is wrong or someone comes and tells you, like that spouse comes and tells you, you know, hey, you know, this is what's bothering me or this is bringing some kind of issue to the relationship, then it's up to you to start keeping the problem alive. Yes, you have the responsibility of squelching that situation. Yes, and that's our life in general. If you see that there are things that are going on that God is not pleased with, then it's up to you to stop it. Yes, if you want to have a good relationship with God, let's make sure you stop keeping the relationship alive. Okay? All righty. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday, Church Folk Day had a new face on it. Yes, it did. As we launched our My Two Cents segment, and it's a TV and film review, and we are watching together, that is, Kingdom Business. Yes, the BET Plus series starring Yolanda Adams, Sariah McNeil, Michael Beach, yes, and oh, it started off with a bang last week as we talked about, oh my goodness, so many different aspects of that first episode. Oh my goodness, they wasted no time exposing several issues within the church that helped us launch our church folk conversation last week. And one of the things was that offering. What are we saying when we are taking up that third offering? What's that offering for? I don't know, but for this one, it was for the missionary project. Yes. And you got to go check it out to see what we're talking about. Okay. What about that testimony? Keeping it real. Keeping it open, keeping it real. Letting people really see that rags to riches testimony that you have instead of, you know, this, oh, I just arrived attitude and persona that some people want to really put out there. Yes. And triggering those weaknesses was another issue as we talked about, you know, the executive producer being Kirk Franklin and the amount of soft porn, that is, I guess we'll call it, that existed in that episode. And, you know, does that help to trigger some of our weaknesses? What do we do when those weaknesses get triggered or before they do? Yeah, they really, really need to think about before it just gets triggered. Are we going to stand in, you know, in the way of God doing his work and keep putting ourselves in front of, you know, the danger and not protecting ourselves? Well, you're going to have to go back. You're going to really have to go back and listen to Tuesday's episode to get the best out of that conversation. Okay? Well, while Wednesday rolls along, and our girlfriend Viv got us started as we talked about the pregnant woman in the HOV lane who had her baby in her stomach and was counting that child, the unborn child that is, as a passenger, which would have allowed her to ride in the HOV lane. You know, people just don't stop, do they? Nope, they just don't stop. And, well, I don't know whether she won that or not, but it looks like she walked away with that ticket. I hope she did, because that was a lousy excuse. Well, the ladies were in the house, and we got to talking about submission. And we took it from a different angle. We talked about what submission is not. And one of the things is submission is not agreeing on everything. No. Submission does not mean getting all of your spiritual strength through your husband's ego. No, it does not. So, you know, I think you need to go back and listen again. A third day, I'm sending you back to listen because the ladies did a fantastic job, as always. Again, we took it from the opposite angle of what submission is not. Yes, you know, everybody wants to tell you what submission is and how to submit. But we did it from the opposite angle. Okay? Well, Therapeutic Thursday was here before you know it, and we took that opportunity to talk about the signs that you are born again. Yes, are people able to see Jesus in you? Do you hate sin the way you should, and your life is not living a sinful one, so people can actually look at you and tell that, you know, you are a born-again Christian, as they say? I hope so. And we also talked about, you know, people being able to see that you're born again because you have a change of heart. There was a wonderful example given by our brother Al, a testimony, I might say. And I think it was an absolutely wonderful way of talking about, you know, a change of heart and really showing whether there's indicators that you've had a change of heart once you say you've been born again. Okay? Well, Freestyle Friday rolled around, and we took that opportunity to grab our men and talk about submission again. Yes. And this time we took it from a little different angle as well. And we talked about the fact that, you know, submission, you know, means that you watch the authority that you follow. Again, it's not following the leadership of your husband if he is not following Christ. It also means that you don't have to endure an abusive relationship. No, it has nothing to do with being submissive. No. You're going to have to take an opportunity to go back and listen. The men did a fantastic job sending us into the weekend with that same topic of submission. Yes. And, you know, we have to really, really, really think about these things on a wider scale so we don't fall into some of the misleading things that we've been given over the years. Yeah, maybe even from the people in the church as well. Yes. So I think if you go back and listen to all of last week, you would really be blessed to, you know, kind of grab up all of those nuggets that were given last week. Well, Sunday, last night, all the Word Prayer Project was in effect. And our theme was we're praying for people who choose to live the hard way. Yes, you know, can you imagine that there were some people who still say no to prayer, going to church, listening to the wise counsel of God, because they just really can't seem to get out of their own way. Yes, and the prayer requests last night they were fantastic, really catching the essence of that, you know, of the understanding how people really kind of go their own way. And we really were blessed. If you really didn't have an idea, by the time you heard some of them prayer requests, you definitely got a better understanding. So go back and listen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we were out. But Sunday, we were back on. Okay? So, you know, blessings on blessings on blessings, you know, you can receive when you go back and listen, just in case you did miss something when you did listen the first time. Okay? Well, today, we are shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. And we're going to have a good time again today because the relationship clinic is back open once more. Yes. And we have a fantastic couple to join us again today. But before we do that, let's not miss that opportunity to, you know, take that quick break and get that healthy breakfast. Oh, we got to make sure we tell somebody that it's due time that Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we will be right back.
When you receive the diagnosis of craniosynostosis, we understand that the parents get scared real fast. Obviously, as soon as you hear the word pediatric neurosurgeon, and neurosurgery can be extremely scary, but it's a very common thing we see and a very common thing we do. We're proud to be able to offer all the minimally invasive options here at UFL in Gainesville, and we individualize the treatment plan for every patient.
Every child needs something different. None of them need the same exact thing. And it's our job as surgical providers and as care providers to give them what they need. We take great pride in being able to deliver individualized treatment care. And with that, it really gives the best outcome, which is the ultimate long-term goal.
I think it's the impact you can make. You diagnose it and you treat it when the child's a little baby, and you can have an impact, a large impact on the rest of their life in terms of how they are and how they see themselves.
Good morning again. Welcome, or welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Can you believe it? A whole week has gone by already. Well, let's thank God that He has brought us safely through another weekend. And we're back together again. Yes. Oh, how you feeling this morning? I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for asking. And let's get this party started. All right. So, I was doing a little looking around, and I came across an article, and I thought it would be really good just to clear up something, you know, just in case we don't know. And that's osteoarthritis versus rheumatoid arthritis. This is going to be short and sweet today, so get your pens out so you can make sure you don't get the two mixed up, because not all the time, you know, we really know what these things are and what the difference is. So like I said, it's going to be short and sweet, so let's get this started, okay? Osteoarthritis versus rheumatoid arthritis. Well, let's talk about osteoarthritis first. The cause is the wear and tear damage to the cartilage that causes its breakdown over time. Okay? And a lot of times, this is, you know, something that you go through in your knees. Yes. A lot of osteoarthritis in your knees. Okay? And again, the cause is the wear and tear damage to the cartilage that causes its breakdown over time. And a lot of times that's on our knees, that's that weight that we gain. And, you know, remember this, these two little knees been holding us up since we could walk. This was at 2, 1.5, sometimes 3. So, you know, it definitely has taken a beating over the years. Well, some of the symptoms of osteoarthritis: pain, stiffness, and sometimes swelling in the joint, also loss of flexibility in that joint, okay? Does it sound familiar? Probably, okay? Another sign, osteoarthritis tends to show up in a single joint or in a pair. Again, like the knees. Okay, all righty. Rheumatoid arthritis. All right, sometimes known as RA. Well, the cause of rheumatoid arthritis, that's the body's immune system attacks the lining of the joints, causing swelling and inflammation. Now, remember, we didn't talk about that in osteoarthritis. We talked about the cartilage breakdown, the damage to the cartilage. So remember, RA, rheumatoid arthritis, the body's immune system attacks the lining of the joints, causing swelling and inflammation. Okay? Symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis: tender, warm, swollen joints, also joint stiffness that lasts a long time. Now, again, we didn't talk about that in osteoarthritis. It's the pain and the stiffness, but in the RA, the bigger symptoms: tender, warm, swollen joints, also joint stiffness that lasts a long time. Okay. Another sign: rheumatoid arthritis shows up in multiple joints over time. Okay, again, the difference that did not happen in the osteoarthritis. All righty. So I'm hoping that I clarified a little bit of this mix up between osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. All right. All right. Well, what are we talking about this morning? We got a little bit of time before we get that relationship clinic open. Oh, I thought you'd be interested in this one. So, we have this Rhode Island State Senator, Tierra Mack. And she said she has no regrets over twerking on TikTok. Now, we're always talking about being that example setter. Yeah. Well, her name is Tierra Mack. Now, you have to stay beside the fence she's on. So this Rhode Island State Senator went viral for posting a video of herself twerking in a bikini on the 4th of July. And she says she has absolutely no regret in doing so. Now, her TikTok account was temporarily suspended, and she's even received death threats after making the post. And it says the fallout from the video has not deterred her, who told the news that she's used to reactions to foster meaningful dialogue. She's used the reactions to foster meaningful dialogue. Now my question is, what meaningful dialogue is twerking on TikTok gonna stir up? Well, she's 28 years old, so listen. You know, I know we're doing good. You know, we're doing a little better in our little older age now, you know, for some of us. But you probably could have figured out that she was probably on the young side, you know, when I said she was twerking. Now, here's my problem. We don't get these opportunities that much. And at 28, you happen to get that position as a senator, and the best you got to offer is twerking. Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly enough, she says, I've struggled with the idea that in order to be respected, I have to be fully clothed and buttoned up, and I have to be performing in a way that is inauthentic to myself. My behavior on my Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok are consistent with a young millennial who is in office and challenging norms. I'm showing that leadership looks different and welcoming people into the many different facets of my life. Now, there's a picture that they have here of her twerking. And this here is really interesting because she's upside down. She's not even bent over doing this twerking business. She is upside down in a bathing suit on the beach. Her bikini bottom is in between. And I'm saying to myself, at what point did you look at this picture? Did you look at this video and you not just say, you know what, I could have done a little bit better. What is the matter here? I don't know. So they have some responses, okay? So one person responded, I need to see more politicians doing this. Another response was, I'm tempted to move to Rhode Island just to say this is my senator. I don't know. Should we feel a certain kind of way if our senator just started doing the twerking? And like I said, Ms. Tierra Mack, I'm going to use that name again, Tierra Mack. You know why I always call a name a second time. I don't know, y'all. Give me a hit, 347-285-7777, and let me know what you would think about your senator being upside in a picture, upside down. And the picture don't look good. The picture does not look good at all. I'm sorry. I don't even know if it would be better if she was bent over. I haven't seen it. I don't want to see it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying this particular picture does not look good. And that's just a picture. Now, I'm not even imagining how it would look when we see the video. I don't know if the video is out there. This is one news clipping that they have that does not have this video. It just has a picture of her and her twerk pose. And it also says that she belongs to another community, if you will. You fill in the blanks. She belongs to another community. Now, I care less what community you belong to, personally. It doesn't matter to me. Just do the job. That's not for me to say. However, my thought is, based on some of the stuff that she's saying in this article, in this news article, she has also a picture. There's also a picture of her with her followers, if you will, and she's posed again in an outfit that, to me, I just don't think a senator needs to be in. Now, I'm really not like that. And I think if you've listened to Pastor Steph long enough, you'll know. I really don't have a lot of the hang-ups that other people have. You got to dress a certain way. You got to do this. You got to do that. Oh, if you're this, you should be doing that. Oh, if you're this, you should be doing that. Because I understand that things are evolving. People are evolving. Times are evolving. And sometimes with that evolving will be an adjustment. And that's an adjustment we're going to have to, you know, kind of get accustomed to. But certain adjustments, nah. She's in this pride parade. I believe, and she's got this bikini top on. She's got these, I don't even know if you want to call them pantin shorts. I don't know what these things are that she has on. But again, it's not a good look, in my opinion, as a senator. When we're in certain positions, we need to make sure we present the position in a certain manner. And again, I think, you know, for you to be, you know, be given that position as a senator at the age of 28, you know, it's in Rhode Island. Rhode Island is not that big. I don't know if any of you have been to Rhode Island, but it's rather small. I've been. It's rather small. There's not a whole lot of us there. And they're supporting their young people. And, you know, I would like to think that you were the best candidate, you know, and you really showcased that during your campaign. And that's why you were appointed and selected and voted in as the senator. But when you get up in there, you can't be doing all this kind of stuff. Ooh, just don't let me see the pastor start twerking. I don't know. I think that'll just be, boy, you talk about some news. Pastor Steph will definitely be newsbound for that one. So, again, we'll discuss this after we finish with our relationship clinic, if you choose, 347-285-7777. Just let me know if, you know, take a minute. You know, when you get a quick chance, take a minute and look at the Senator for Rhode Island, Miss Tierra Mack, and maybe they'll, you know, show the video or maybe they'll show a picture and we'll see, you know, what's going on in your eyes. Maybe you'll see it a little differently. I would love to hear from you. Okay? All righty. Well, it's relationship clinic time. And after last week's couple, we know God is always blessing. And we have a dynamic couple with us, I'm sure, this morning. So I would love to say good morning to Pastor Jimmy and Lady Candy Stevens. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Yes, doing great.
I'm well, thank you. I am well, thank you. So why don't you give us an opportunity to hear who the Stevens are? Tell us who the Stevens are.
Well, I believe
the Stevens are your family next door.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on what neighborhood.
What does that mean?
Let's clarify. So, because next door can be anything, right past the step. So, in terms of family, I believe in terms of one thing that we are just focused really on our family, on our children, on our relationship. We are people who prioritize that over everything else. So in terms of just who we are, I believe we're people who are governed toward principles that cater to or focus on our family.
All right. Well, we are so blessed to have you in the relationship clinic this morning. And I give God thanks that you received my invitation and you accept it. So I'm sure we're going to have a wonderful time together this morning. You have chosen the topic. What? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Practical
tips for a good relationship.
Yes. Why did you choose that particular topic?
I think in terms of, for me, and my wife can speak for herself, but I just think in terms of being able to practically go through life is one of the biggest things that sometimes we can overlook, meaning there are certain things we can do practically that have an impact on our life and on our relationship. So in terms of benefiting people, I just thought that would be a good way to start a conversation in terms of just applying certain things to your life that's going to help your relationship.
Okay. Lady Candy, what drew you to this topic of tips for a successful relationship?
What drew me to this topic, basically, is that I think that a lot of times, especially when we're talking about in church and ministry and life, sometimes there's a disconnect between marrying the two. As far as how you're going to live and walk as a Christian, but also living within this earth. And so I think that sometimes there's kind of either a mystery, or you kind of think that everything is spiritual, in which case we are going to pray about it. You are going to pray about some of your problems, but some of your problems can actually be solved through practical things, because you don't have to pray about whether or not you should just go in on your husband because he didn't fill up your car when he used it. So we don't have to pray about that. You could just not do that. So there are so many things that within being married for so long and in a relationship that, you know, prayer, the prayer didn't fix it. What fixed it is the practical information that God had inspired others to share with me. So I just feel like it's all spiritual based, meaning God gives us the knowledge and the ability to attain that knowledge. But essentially, you've got to be able to do it. And it's all usually practical things that are messing us up.
All right. All right. I like that introduction. I like that, especially when we talk about going in on our husband. You don't have to pray for that. And I do have, you know, my little theory on, you know, every time we're presented with something, we run into the Lord and we're praying about it. I'm like, well, then what you been praying about all this time? How come every time you get approached with something, I got to go pray about it? Yeah, well, God's not answering? So I love that, Candy, with that, you know you ain't got to go in on your husband when he didn't fill up the gas tank. And, you know, because a lot of times it is something that you need to consider before you even open up your mouth. And if you've been praying to God, like you said, it's automatically going to be something that you automatically know. So I love that. I love that introduction. You know, I'm looking at a list of little things that are big things that I think you two will definitely help to shine some light on, you know, just those little small hints, as the title so rightly says. And one of the things that they talk about is it's not you or I, it's we. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Either one of you can start.
In terms of we, I think that should start early on in your relationship, understanding that there's a responsibility that comes with marriage, meaning this is not being single and like just kind of going through life as a single person but yet married. So once you become, the Bible says it like this, the two shall become one flesh, it automatically is a we. So when we're thinking about our life and we're thinking about how we do things, there should be a level of, okay, how does this affect my wife? How does this affect my kids? How does this affect my family? So it's taking on that real responsibility of being in a relationship and being in a marriage.
All right, all right. Lady Candy, help us with, you know, I'm going to, before you even start, let me just say this. One of the things I'm hard on the ladies. You know, everybody thinks, you know, we generally women are up against the men. I'm really hard on the ladies because I think a lot of times if we were to make those small adjustments, we would make these areas just fit like a puzzle. And what are some of the things that we do as women in a relationship that mess up that we dynamic?
I'm sorry, that the back end of your question, please.
What are some of the things that we do as women in the relationship, as wives, that mess up that we dynamic in our relationship?
Oh, that mess up the we.
Yes.
Okay, got it. So, that's a good question. Some of the things that we do that mess up the we. I feel like some of the things that we do as ladies is wanting our way.
Okay, you can elaborate.
Wanting our way all
that.
Of the time, at any cost. So that's something that I feel like messes up the we. And when I say that, it may not be that you consciously want your way, but it's the actions that you display when you do not get your way. So you may not have said it, oh, I want my way, but it's how you act when you do not get your way. So if you shut down when he didn't agree that you should go, I'm going to just use something that is not really like a huge deal. You wanted to go to Bahamas. He wanted to go to Canada. He says, no, let's go here. And then you didn't get your way. like it ended up being a better deal to go where he wanted to go. And so we said, let's go this time, let's go here. And then instead of just being an adult and saying, really, you know, I really wanted to go here, and let's make a plan to see how we can get to both, you just shut down completely and kind of did that, you know how we do, not talking at all, and then walking around and, you know, shuffling papers loudly or slamming things. You know, you're going to get some water, but you're going you're gonna put the cup down on the counter really hard. You're going to slam open the refrigerator. Those kind of different displays of I didn't get my way, but you're not necessarily saying I'm mad because I didn't get my way. So you're acting that way, which kind of causes your mate to kind of shut down and start trying to give you your way. But again, that's going to start bringing up more problems because now he's withholding something and things that he may want because he doesn't want to experience your actions when you don't get your way.
That was a good one. You seem like a little hesitant, like you didn't want to go in on the ladies. Listen, that's how we
you
do
know
it.
What? You know what? I'm only halfway through this cup of Komodo Dragon.
Listen, you described us to the T. No, we're not coming out and saying it, but by the way, we slide the plate down the counter, across the table. Half the food is on the table before it gets to them. You know, the food is half cold. You know how we do. You gave the perfect description of us. And it definitely messes with the we dynamic and now becomes you or I. Because like you said, it's your way or my way, opposed to that compromise that, you know, that we need. So you did that thing. I love it. I love it. I'm looking at another one here, and I'm seeing one that there's, you know, just that little simple thing, these hints to a successful relationship, being supportive. How essential is that to a successful relationship?
I think it's real essential. I mean, it's the essence of why you get married, why you connected with somebody, why you're actually in a relationship with them. Everybody wants to feel significant. They want to feel supported. They want to feel validated. So if you're not feeling validated or supported, it's a crack in your foundation. It's a crack in the integrity of what you're trying to build. So at some point, you're going to feel you won't feel the pain of a lack of support. So in terms of relationship, I think it's essential. It's one of the foundational experiences that you should actually have in terms of, you know, being in a relationship, being married.
Okay. Lady Candy, what are we talking about when it comes to support of your husband that's real essential that we miss? I'm going to talk to you a little differently today than I've spoken to some of our other ladies. And because something is telling me to talk about what we're missing today. I don't know why. I don't know. The Lord is telling me to really kind of drive this home. You know why, Lady Candy? Because a lot of women always talk about they wait. If I have to hear this one more time, just waiting for this Boaz. If I have to hear, I'm looking for my man. I want to hear, you know, I wish I were married. But yet these little things that they don't have, these little tools, these little hints to creating a successful relationship, they're missing. And they could be missing for numerous reasons. So that's why I want to, like I said, something is just telling me to go from this angle today. So that's why I'm going to pose my questions to you in a certain manner. So, put your jacket on. Let's get ready to set these women straight. Help them get prepared for that man that God is preparing for them. And, you know, I want us to help them out today, really help them out today. Okay. So let's help them understand what they need to do to be supportive of that husband that God has sent them.
You know what? I think that the most important way that they, that the most important thing that they need to do in order to be supportive for their husband or their mate or their intended is really to start with changing your mind in terms of submission. I'm gonna let that one marinate just for a minute, or as my principal says, let it sizzle in your spirit just for a second. to change your mindset about the words of submission. I was speaking to my brother the other day, and so we were talking about, he was asking me, what's wrong with these women these days? You know, just, you know, rhetorically. And then he was like, and then he brought up the word submission. And so I feel like for a lot of us, whether saved or unsaved, churched or unchurched, submission is this, it's almost the equivalent of dropping an F-bomb. And so really it's going to be very difficult for you to support your mate or your intended without a little bit of submission. And I think that the first shift that we can, the minor shift that we can make in our mindset regarding it is that submission is not a position of weakness, but rather a position of strength. It takes a much stronger individual to submit to someone else than it does to go ahead and put all of your power and all of your might and energy on display. And so what I'm thinking of, my perfect example of what I would think of as submission, I don't know if everybody's seen the movie Black Panther, but in the movie Black Panther, we have the head over the army, and she's talking to the king, and he says, stay here. We're not going to do X, Y, Z. And then she did not do it. And so a lot of people were talking about that, all of those women, and that she was more in terms of being, instead of being submissive, she was being a slave. But in the beginning of that movie, he told her to stay here. She stayed at first, but then once she realized that he was in trouble, she abandoned those orders and went and helped him. And I think that that is very key in terms of our type of submission, is knowing when to use your power and when to stay and kind of hang back a little bit. Because what we know about the military, I'm a military kid, I'm married to an ex-military man, so what I know about the military and submission and orders is that you follow them regardless. It does not matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. You follow those rules regardless, because you took an oath to do so. So I'm going to submit that this woman was in submission and not servitude as far as being a slave or being enslaved, because there was a second that she used her own mind and went ahead and disobeyed those orders in order to choke the person that she was in submission to. And I think that if we kind of made that small shift, and then you see that same character later in the movie where with her own spouse, when his animal was coming and about to attack somebody, she stood in front and said, stop, and his own animal stopped and listened to her, not because she had been all with the power, you know, running and just blasting everything. It was because she had already been so submissive and so in control of her situation and emotions that that animal had had a relationship with her also and still listened to her, even in the heat of what was, you know, an intense battle. And so I'm thinking that for me, if we could make that small switch to thinking that it's not, I'm not a servant, I'm not a slave, but rather I am using my strength at an appropriate time, that would support my mate better than just going and putting all of my power on display.
Ah, I love that. I love that. You actually just put a stamp on what we talked about last week. 2 days last week, we talked about being submissive. You just confirmed what we talked about last week. So that was an excellent example, you know, just in case someone didn't get the message last week. So thank you for even going into depth that in that direction. I love it. I love it. One of the other things I'm looking at is building trust and how that is a good tool in, you know, building a successful relationship.
Yes. I'm going to say that's an essential, that's an essential tool. Trust, 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 trust. We need it. How would you build it, David?
Is the question how do you build trust or?
Just trust itself. If you want to elaborate on how you build it, then fire away. However you want to address it, it's good enough for me.
Okay. So I think in terms of trust, I think it's in terms of building it is experience. So the more you experience your spouse, you experience their behavior, their patterns of how they, first of all, protect their integrity, protect the integrity of your relationship, you kind of glimpse as well as get an insight into, okay, can I build with this my partner? Is there a weakness that they have? But that's just going to be based on your experience. So if you are in a relationship, your spouse is showing levels of protection, showing levels of consistency, showing a level of personal integrity, I think you rely more on them because you have been watching, you've been experiencing that, okay, I don't have to kind of worry about my husband or my wife doing something that may compromise the relationship, may compromise our marriage because of how you experience their behavior. Ideally, you want it to be good. You want it to have a good experience so that trust can be strengthened. But that's going to be based on your experience, how you are experiencing their behavior in your relationship.
Okay. I love that. I love that answer. I'm just going to jump right in, and you asked for it. So, ladies, I think that your first step in trust and being able to trust, as my husband just spoke about, and have those good experiences, it's going to greatly depend on your choice, who you chose. You know who you chose. You know what behaviors that they have, hopefully. And so it is very difficult to go into a relationship or start a relationship with someone that you already know has questionable character. So if you are with somebody with questionable character and you've seen the signs, so let's not act like we don't. You've seen the signs of questionable character. You know, you're going to want to leave that alone because it's going to be very difficult to trust that individual. So I'm going to start with who you chose because your trust is going to hinge on that. If you know that he was putting a few numbers in his pocket when you met him, you know, don't continue in a relationship with this individual. Now, if you're already married, now we're going to get into that second step of practicing. We've got to practice trusting because sometimes it's just not going to come easy, especially if you've been on your own a while, or for some of us ladies that, you know, we've been hurt before, and so we tend to drag Harry, Tom, and Dick into the relationship with us, all of that hurt that came with that they cause and bring it into the next place, we're going to have more and the same vice versa. Sally and Susie and all of them, if you experience trust issues in another relationship and you bring that with you, we've now got to practice trusting, meaning even with the little things like, okay, he said he was going to do such and such. I'm not going to use the Find My app to see where he's at all the time, or I'm not going to be going through his phone, or whatever. Whatever trust looks like for you, whatever you know that issue is or that kind of sticking point is, you want to start building and practicing trusting in the little things and then work your way up. If you're in a situation where you already know who you married, and so you know that trust is an issue. But again, if you're not in that situation and you're already dating somebody or somebody trying to get at you and you know they have questionable character, the best advice I could tell you is just leave them alone, because it will not get better. I don't know anybody that fine that can just change somebody from not being ratchet to now you can trust them fully. So something practice is not going to work. Like, I just can't dance. It doesn't matter how much I practice. It's not, I'm never going to dance like J-Lo or whoever is dancing right now. So some stuff just is better. Don't even do it.
I love it. I love it, because I was going to ask you to go there. You know, when someone has broken that trust, what do? How do you get back on track? And you hit the nail right on the head. I want to switch this to you, Pastor Jimmy, and I want to ask you to describe to the ladies how it feels for a man to have, let's put it this way, you made a mistake. We're going to go on the lighter side of things today. You made a mistake. You had a moment of bad judgment, and I'm not even necessarily talking about with another woman. And that's not even. I'm just talking about in general. You know, you just made a bad move, and now you've broken the trust of your wife, and now she's giving you hell, trying to get back on track. You're trying your best, but she going through the package. She's going, you know, all through your phone. She's micromanaging everywhere you go. How does that man feel when he's trying to get back on track and you're working against him? How do you build that trust?
Well, I mean, first off, it's difficult if your wife doesn't have an understanding of what she has to do, because what will happen is this: if I'm continuing to put in effort, and my efforts are not being seen, or my efforts are not being recognized, I'm going to stop putting in effort. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit working towards something that I won't feel I'm making any progress with. That's human nature. It becomes a habit. If I'm constantly hitting a brick wall, I'm going to stop walking in that direction. So that's eventually what's going to happen. If my wife isn't seeing and recognizing the effort that's being done, then the only thing that will happen is I'm going to move away. I'm going to stop attaching myself emotionally to her. I'm going to stop trying to make up or reestablish the relationship or the connection or the trust. I'm just going to quit. And that's what happens in every relationship. The quitting happens. It's the effort that's not being recognized, that's not being received, that causes one partner to be in a relationship but not be in the relationship. In other words, they're coming home because their shoes is there. It ain't because, hey, we so in love. It's just a habit. And we're just in the same house, but there's no emotional connection. There's no trust or anything trying to be built. We're just kind of coexisting.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Ladies, you've heard it from the man himself. That's the way men feel. And, you know, when you're talking, Pastor Jimmy, you know, and when you're telling ladies, you know, yo, this is how it's going down, you know, they don't seem to believe it. But that's why I wanted them to hear it from you today, because, you know, a lot of times, like I said, give it up straight. They give the man hell. You know, it's like he can't ever get back on track. It's like, okay, so do you plan on really going forward in this relationship or not? Because if you are, you're going to have to cut this out. You can't keep going forward in this manner. So I'm so glad that you gave that description, that they just give up. Yeah. You just give up.
Right. And I think in terms of just the pain, specifically the wife is at that point dealing with so much emotional pain that she is reacting. But she is not, like your point, when you ask the question, do you want this relationship? Rationally, she does. If you ask her, yes, I want it, but she doesn't realize that her emotional reaction is killing her relationship.
Right.
The thing she wants, she's repelling because she's not realizing the importance and the significance of her behavior, that it does negatively impact the man if he's trying and he's putting in effort, but you're constantly rehashing and re-experiencing the negativity or the pain and projecting that pain on him, and instead of processing it inwardly. Like, why am I upset? Why am I frustrated? Why am I still angry? Who am I angry at? Are you angry at your husband or are you angry at yourself? Because you certain things that maybe you didn't do, and now you are feeling the repercussions, and instead of you processing the blame or a portion of it to yourself because you just knew you were supposed to do something that you didn't do, now you're just projecting that pain of disappointment in yourself onto your husband, and that constantly caused that wedge to be built up. But yeah, it is a level of, to your point, an experience that will definitely be negative for a woman who's pushing her husband away by not understanding her actions have a huge impact on his experience.
Absolutely. I want to stay here a minute because something else that comes up quite often that I want the two of you to talk about in this trust area, this cell phone thing, this social media thing. You know, I've had a few couples and I've had outside conversations with other pastors, and what's happened is there's been a breach of trust in this social media area. And when the suggestion comes up, okay, listen, if you want this relationship, you're going to have to focus. And if you're going to focus, you're going to have to put that phone or that device down for a while, if not forever, but let's just say for a while, and really give back into this relationship what you've removed or taken away or never have put into the relationship. And the men go buck wow, why I gotta put the phone down, why I still can't be on social media. So for us, and I'll start with you, Lady Candy, for us it's like brainless. Put it down because you messed up in that area, whether you've reached out to other women, whether you've whatever you've done in the social media, if you've communicated with people you have not had any business communicating with, you need to put this down. And they refuse to do so. What are we as the women supposed to do? How should we respond to that?
I love that question. And they refuse. I don't know. I guess for me, I'm thinking that is where the difficult conversation would come in. Because I would want a conversation, because at that point I would want to know, why is a virtual relationship more important than our physical relationship? So yeah, for me, that would be when a very important conversation would need to be had, especially as, like, as my husband was saying, do you really want this relationship? Because at that point, sometimes as grown-ups, when you're adulting, you have to make hard choices. So do you want this virtual reality or do you want your actual reality? Because right now, that's what you're choosing, and I would want to know, why is it so important that you can't press pause on it?
Okay.
Especially if talking about inappropriate things are going on, you know, people sliding in your DMs and all of that kind of stuff, and you're not shutting it down, or, you know, you're meeting up. I mean, because to me, even if, you know, if you're entertaining it, you're not from carrying it out. So yeah, we would have to have a serious conversation about what's important and what you would, if you really want the relationship. And then, too, I would want to know what draws you to it so much. Like, what's missing that you need it? What is it giving you? What need is it fulfilling?
Okay, I love those questions. I love those questions. Pastor Jimmy, I would like for you to please talk to the men. You know, like I said, I'm not the only pastor who's had this conversation. I don't know if you've had this conversation with some of your guys, but I know other pastors have said they've had this, you know, conversation. Like, listen, you have to put this down. And they are having such a difficult time just putting it down so that they can focus on this marriage. We ain't even talking about dating, Pastor Jimmy. We're talking about people in a marriage where, you know, like if you were dating, you like, okay, you know what? You either take it or leave it. We're talking about you married and you're still involving yourself and making these types of decisions, or you're fighting against, you know, dropping this. What are you saying to the men this morning?
Well, first off, it's twofold. I'm going to talk to the men and the ladies, and I'm going to talk to the men. Sometimes, and when I say sometimes, when a man does this, and I deal with this a lot in terms of me working with couples, it is a huge issue, a huge challenge, especially with social media, Instagram. You got the Instagram models, you got the filters, you got the women half naked on there, and you know. So men, first off, is understanding your limitations. Men are visual people. We are attracted by visual attraction. What is in social media is primarily visual. So you have to be able to, first of all, recognize what attracts you and be honest. Don't you got to be real with yourself in terms of understanding this is a boundary you want to set up in your relationship. Secondly, when a wife is trying to communicate to her husband, hey, you know, I need you to stop doing this. That in itself is a, I wouldn't advise that approach. I would advise the approach of, first off, sharing with your husband how that makes you feel. When you're doing this, it feels like I'm not loved. It feels like I can't trust you. Whatever your feeling is, communicate that. Because what happens is if you're coming off in terms of because you're upset, which is understandable, if your husband never knows what feeling is giving you, he's going to feel like, okay, this is an attack. That's why the, hey, cut this out, don't do this type stuff never works. No man or no woman for that matter is going to experience a level of, okay, I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do in that way. It doesn't happen that way. We have to, first off, understand your spouse is a person. So when you approach them and respectfully tell them, hey, listen, that is what you're doing right there is really making me feel like I can't trust you. It's making me feel like you don't love me, whatever that experience is. Generally, then that triggers something in a man to recognize, okay, this right here is putting my marriage in jeopardy. Most men don't feel that way until the feelings of their wife they're confronted with. If they're confronted with a serial challenge of do this or else, they're going to fight that. That becomes a tension. So what I've worked with couples is, and this is a very again, this happens a great deal in relationships, is when a wife tells the husband how this makes her feel, and the husband hears that, first off, this woman who I married, who I vowed to protect, I'm killing her. I'm actually killing her emotionally. They tend to pull back. Then the next conversation is, okay, brother, do you need to continue to practice this? What benefit is it in overall your vision for your family and your life? Typically, most men value their families, their wives. We say we value them, but are we practicing that? So then the challenge is, how is this helping me get to the destination? If I'm using a business term, I'm saying, what's the opportunity cost of this? Is this going to benefit me in the long run, or is this going to definitely constantly cut me in terms of me being able to experience the life I talk about I want to live? Like, my wife trusts me. I'm a good provider. She has a level of emotional security because of my behavior. Or is she distant? Is she someone who feels inferior to these social media models who is attracting all of your attention? So when we're kind of faced with those things, so it's different phases we have to approach it. It's first ladies sharing the experience, brothers hearing that. Then the conversation is, why do I need this? And is this congruent with where you're going in life, what you want to experience in life? And when you challenge men with vision and destination, it has a different impact on them versus the adversarial confronting them. It's just knowing what emotional drivers men have, what emotional drivers women have, and communicating in that way so it's received and, you know, they benefit from it. But when you know as a man, I want my wife to experience a level of safety and security emotionally, where she don't feel like I'm going to slip out on her because somebody is in the DMs and I'm fine. I call them soul snatchers. Come in here and just snatch your soul because, you know, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now you all lined up with this virtual person you don't even know, but you just attracted to her body. And now you just, your whole attention is taken to this, and now you in the DMs and you're subscribing to cams, cameos, and OnlyFans, and now you're on a date nap acting like you're single but you're married. All that is soul snatching, just coming in, and it all starts in small incremental fashions. Before you know it, you acting like you're single but you married. You know, that's the kind of stuff that happens when you don't have a guard up, when you don't realize what drives you as a man. So you got to put up the blinders. You got to put yourself in a situation when you realize what's important to you and you start practicing it.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff, Pastor Jimmy. Good stuff. Thank you for helping our ladies understand how we need to approach, you know, the matter, and that was essential right there, because a lot of times, like you say, it's, you know, the way we approach, like you said,
right,
Lady Candy, the way we approach definitely kills the whole thing before it even gets started. And it's not that you're even doing anything wrong. You're just trying to maximize on your effort. If you already know that this is going to kill the whole thing, then you better take another approach, because you're not going to get anywhere. So you two are giving some dynamic pointers here this morning. I want to step into this area where a lot of churches are not, you know, open about this gesture of love. Well, let's say gestures of love. And, you know, how this is so beneficial to a successful relationship. And I'm going to start with you, Lady Candy, and how we need to, you know, give the love to our husband so we can make sure that the relationship is going the way it needs to go.
Okay, so our gestures of love, what? When we say that, are we talking about all of our actions or
actions, the things we say, gestures of love, that intimacy area that, you know, is always so forbidden when we talk Christian talk?
Ah, thank you. Why does it tell me that? Okay, so, you know what? Let's start with perfume.
Ooh, okay.
Let's start with perfume. men and the look. So my husband already stated that men are visual. You definitely want to dive into the senses, if I can say it that way, when we're dealing with men. So we're talking about how do you look, how do you smell, how would you taste, all of those kind of things. What do you feel like? So I'm going to start with body scrub on the skin, lotion, scented lotion perhaps, and then going into making sure that you're looking presentable, and not just for your husband, honestly for yourself, because when you feel good, when you look good, you feel good. And so he can just be a partaker of what you're already doing. He can benefit from something that you're doing for yourself. But definitely perfume. One of my favorite, if you want to just snatch him by the collar and pull it, would be Dior Blooming, Miss Dior Blooming. Putting that on, I was watching a clip that my husband posted the other day, and it was talking about communicating with your man, and she was saying, put the perfume on your neck and in the crisp and right by your breastbone, and then talk to your mate about XYZ. So I'm feeling like that goes with it in general, but I think also a mind shift, something that I do, and please, if you're not able to do it, do not. But for me, I have a particular playlist that kind of sets my mood. So I would suggest that if you have difficulty in that area, that one, you prepare your skin and your body and the way that you look. But also preparing my mind, I have a particular playlist that I listen to that kind of keeps you ready. So if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So I do listen to those songs, and then sometimes I will share a song with my husband on Apple Play.
Oh, okay.
Is well, what we're talking about? I'm asking of love, right?
I'm asking Lady Candy because I've had this question, and you know, why we can't, you know, some of the songs that these ladies have asked whether they can play. I'm like, oh, please. So we're not going with Bump and Grind. We're not going with, you know, some of these other songs. What, give me two, just two, of the songs that are on your playlist. If you say Bump and Grind, I'm gonna kill you.
Okay. I will not say bump and grind. But sharpen your knife, because I am going to say Usher Tell Me.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to say Tank Slow.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Get Jackson, Would You Mind?
Wait, what's the last one?
Janet Jackson, Would You Mind?
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, when you listen to that,
just tell me.
Nice emoji in my DM. They are not bump and grind. They're not bump and grind.
I'm saying some of the songs are like, we can't play so and so. I'm like, really, y'all? You know, it's so I'm glad. That's what I said. I'm taking some suggestions because I'm not, you know, I have my own, you know, I have a playlist of my own. I'm an 80s girl. You know, I like more older music. So they weren't really trying to listen to anything I would suggest. But that's why I said, well, you know what, since I got somebody on here who's talking about that playlist, so give me those three songs again so they can they can write them down just in case they didn't get it the first time.
Okay, so my first one, Usher, Tell Me. Your next one would be Tank. And the title of that song is Slow. And then the last song would be Janet Jackson, Would You Mind?
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay, so Pastor Jimmy, so Lady Candy has talked about the smell goods, the look goods, and the sound goods. What does it do to
the man
regarding her gestures of love? What does that do to those gestures of love do for the men?
What does the gestures of love do?
Yeah, but it don't smell good, look good,
it
sound
puts
good.
You in the bedroom. You know. I mean, I don't know. It don't take much. I mean, men, it's easy. All we got to do is look and get a hint. That's it. It don't. After that, it's over. It's no secret. Yeah, brothers ain't deep. I mean, we are as easy as they come in terms of gestures of love or receiving gestures of love. I mean, so it's not a problem at all in any way, shape, or form for a man. It's you know, I think in terms of you want to keep gestures of love in your relationship. You want to have intimacy in your relationship. You want to create that because that's a huge benefit. It's just understanding the nuances of when and timing. I think that's what we kind of, in, you know, in more mature, longer relationships, that can become a challenge because of scheduling, because of life, because of family, because of kids. So you want to create a process where at least you're scheduling it if needed. And for the most part, I think that's the best and most practical way. It's not quote unquote movie romantic, but it does give you the experience that you need, and it's a level of assurity that you're going to have that time of intimacy. Because if you got, especially nowadays, you got two-parent homes where two parents are working, kids are in school or some type of daycare, life can get pretty hectic with, you know, raising a family. And it's creating those moments and scheduling those moments that I think that's important. It's not so much of the spontaneity anymore in terms of you raising a family, because again, your time is split, your mind is split, in terms of thinking about your job, family, business, etc. And by the time you get to bed, it's like, okay, when are we going to have a time of intimacy? How frequently do we need intimacy? And so I think in terms of practicality, it's just understanding you have to schedule a great deal of these things depending on what season you are in life. So it doesn't become something that happens when I feel like it or the moment presents itself. It's really, I think, the practicalities of it, of, okay, these days, this time, those things need to be discussed so that you can ensure you're experiencing it and it doesn't go, you know, by the wayside. In terms of, you know, experiencing that in your relationship.
And that's where I'm going. That's where I was going, actually, because we know it don't take nothing to turn a man up. We just got finished talking about it. You could get turned up from a DM. So we know it don't take a whole lot of that. but that's exactly what you went in the direction that I wanted to go in. You know, we're constantly dealing with you may want to, I may not want to. The time, you know, I might be drained from with the kids all day. I might be drained from being at work all day. You know, so, you know, you've got different issues that are going on in everybody's life, and you really hit the nail on the head for me. So thank you so much for elaborating on that. There's one other area I really want to talk about before we close, because we only have a few minutes, and I don't want to miss this one, because I think some of the other things that I wanted to talk about, you've already kind of touched on those. Apologizing is what I really want to close up with today, because we know that lack of humility can destroy and keep from having a successful relationship. So what do you two have to tell us this morning about the apologizing aspect of a relationship?
Well, I think it's you got to have it because you both gonna make mistakes. It's par for the course. It's gonna happen. You got two imperfect people submitting to each other. So we gonna say some things we shouldn't say, do some things we shouldn't do. And it's just really understanding that, okay, you're gonna be wrong a lot of times. And being able to be open enough to know that and to be okay with, you know, missing it and be okay with hearing that you missed it. I think it's something that has to be practiced. I think in terms, if we don't believe that this is going to be something that is expected, then we're going to go through our relationship thinking that, okay, I'm good, and I don't make mistakes. I just think that's a very, you know, immature way of thinking about it. But, yeah, I think this time to practice, it needs to be something that goes into play all the time.
Mm-hmm. Baby, what's that you say? You can be right or you can be married?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. You can be right, you can be married.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's not about, I don't think, in terms of, it's just knowing that that's what's going to happen. And to my wife's point earlier, you know, you kind of know who you're marrying. If you're dating someone who is never wrong, or you're dating someone who doesn't ever see your side or how they can be wrong or how they may have affected you negatively, then you already kind of get an idea of what's coming.
Okay. Ladies, I would love for you to take it from the side of forgiveness. We have a hard time with that thing as women, as wives. If you can approach it from that angle, if you had something else to say, please feel free to say it. If you have, you wanted to add on, but please, I would like you to add on that part there, that forgiveness aspect. So I don't want to squash anything you were thinking.
Okay. So in terms of, I'm just going to jump on the end of what my husband was saying, because knowing that you're going to have to apologize is a huge step, but I think that it's also going to be very important to know how to apologize, and sometimes even when to apologize, because, you know, an apology, you might need that situation to cool down for a few minutes or an hour or something like that before you try to apologize. Also knowing how and what to say, because sometimes, and I know I could be guilty of this, our apologies have a little bit of shade in them. So, you know, it's a little shady. So you're kind of accepting responsibility for what you did, but also kind of trying to slightly put a little blame on your partner instead of taking full responsibility for your actions. So knowing what to say and making sure that it's coming from a genuine place, and then making sure that it's within a time frame that it would be received. And then once you've done that, just know that, you know, it's up to that individual to now forgive you. In terms of forgiveness, I think that we really have to understand that forgiveness is for you. It's not for that individual. It's for you. So if you're harboring unforgiveness, then your prayers are hindered and you're just really clogging up everything that God has for you. So you have to decide, is being unforgiving about somebody forgetting to do a chore, is it worth blocking what you were believing for your next steps in your career? Is it worth blocking what you were believing for your next steps in your household or relationships or the opportunities that you were looking for your family? Is what you're holding on to in terms of unforgiveness worth what you're believing for? Because essentially that is the trade-off. When we operate in unforgiveness, we are trading it for something else, because we're not able to go forward until we forgive. And forgiving doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to, you know, blatantly allow or blindly allow certain things to happen or to continue to happen. It just means that I've made the choice to forgive you, which means that, too, ladies, if you've truly forgiven them, you're not going to keep bringing it back up and keeping it on that tally mark in the back of your head, your pad with the tally marks of how many times they messed up. You're just going to forgive and let it go. It's going to be hard, so that's going to be another thing that you're going to have to practice, which is letting it go.
Amen. 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 Okay, do you have like 5 more minutes? Because I want to ask a question based on what you said, Lady Candy, and then I have the last point that, you know, you would send us home with. Do you have like 5 more minutes?
I do.
Okay, thank you. I want to know, I would love for you to explain why you said the timing of the apology is key.
So I say the timing because a lot of times, not a lot of times, sometimes 2 things will happen. One, you will try to hurry up and apologize just to squash the matter and get it over with, per se. But it's really no real resolution. Mm. 2, but my real reason is that if you pause on it for a little bit, because your mate or who you've offended may not be ready yet. So that means if we've had a huge blowout about, let's say something huge like finances, somebody overspent or something like that, the apology may not be received right then. So that person may need a little time just to come down, reflect, and kind of even back out, and then go back and speak to them and apologize wholeheartedly because they're too upset to receive it. So that's some, like, for instance, I teach first grade. And so a lot of times with conflict with 2 small children, what you do is you talk to the calm child and ask them to step away for a minute until the one that is really angry simmers down. Now come back to me and we can talk about the matter, get the apologies out and move on. And then that's how it moves out easier than, you know, I'm still, my blood pressure is still up and you're apologizing. So I'm saying okay, but at the same time, really no real resolution has happened because I'm still too upset to really process.
I like that. I like that. I like that. And I think it was really essential that you explained that. And it's funny because we have a teacher in the congregation, and she kind of said that on Sabbath. She was talking about who she deals with first when she's trying to get a point across, and she almost said something identical to what you said. So that example was really key to driving home your point about just kind of letting, you know, things kind of simmer down before you actually apologize. I love that. And thank you for just clearing that up or helping us to understand that more. The last thing I want to really put a nail in today for us is prayer. How crucial prayer is, you know, an essential successful marriage relationship. And then I'll let you go, but we could not bring up all of these points without bringing up the key component of prayer. So either one of you can start. It's on you.
Okay. So for me, prayer is essential. I always want to cover my husband with prayer, cover my family with prayer, and also speaking the word over them for doors of opportunity to be opened, for them to make wise choices. All those types of things are extremely important. But I do want to say, I know that we have that saying, the family that prays together stays together, but we do not pray together. And I'm going to give you a spin on that, that when they say pray together, meaning you're praying the same thing. So it's not divided. So when we say pray together, it means I'm not praying for the $50,000 house and you're praying for the $50 million house, or you know what I'm saying? Like, that's outrageous differences. But that's what I mean when I say pray together, meaning we're praying and believing for the same direction for our family, praying and believing for the same things for each other, as far as being able to keep ourselves and keep our marriage and things like that. So that's what prayer is for me, and then taking those difficult situations that maybe I don't have the answers to into prayer, and then looking for God to give me the wisdom or the knowledge and the insight on how to deal with situations on the job or at home in my relationship and in my marriage. So that is where our lifeline is. But I did want to say that because I know that I've heard a lot of couples, oh, we get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, my husband is up with Jesus early in the morning, and I'm not like that. So we're not going to pray at the exact same time chronologically, but we are going to pray together, meaning we're believing and praying about the same thing.
Nice, 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 nice touch. Nice touch, Lady Candy. Thank you for that one. Nice touch. Nice touch. Pastor Jimmy, you have the last word, as I always like to say. What do you have for us? Lady Candy really gave us a real good nugget there. How are you finishing this all up?
With prayer or just anything?
Oh, prayer.
Oh, prayer. Okay, okay. So I think, okay, the importance of prayer, I think, I mean, in terms of understanding life, from my experience, my life has been rooted in prayer from an early age, because I realized that, okay, I can't do this on my own. I need God as my partner. I need to partner with him. I need to know what he wants me to do. I need to know what his will is for my life. I need to know what he has promised over my life, so I can steward the gift that he's giving me. And so that means that I have to have a level of commitment so that I can fellowship with him, hear from him, get quiet, and just kind of steal all the noise and the voices, and to know what was true in terms of my season, what I'm supposed to be doing, how I'm supposed to be stewarding my life and my gift. So I think it's an essential part of a believer's life, in terms of strength, in terms of assurance. It's knowing that you've been spending time with the Father and hearing his voice that's going to give you that assurance in those challenging moments.
Amen, amen, amen. How long have you two been married?
About 25 years.
Wow, and you left that out of the who are the Stevens. That is essential information, because that really lets us know that you two know what you're talking about. You know, not that you don't know if you only been married 25 months,
right.
But 25 years is really... You've learned a lot of stuff about marriage, about relationships, about love, what works, what doesn't work, you know, how the other one works, and your family.
Right. Definitely.
You have how many children do you have?
Oh, two kids. We have two kids in college. Yeah.
Wow. So you've gotten a really good handle on raising children. So, you know, we really have been blessed today to get our information from a wonderful, wonderful source, you know, a couple that have, you know, really have gone, you know, down the road of relationships and marriage and family. And we thank you so very much. Oh, my goodness. You have really blessed us this morning, as anticipated. And we give God thanks for your marriage, for your dedication to God and his ministry, and to you, again, just in answering that invitation and coming on and just making our life so much better. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And I would love to have you two back. I'll talk to you about that later. But definitely, God spares, would love to have you back on, because I'm sure you'll be able to continue to give us more of what God has for us through you. You have a blessed day.
You as well. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness gracious. How blessed have we been for a second week in a row. And, you know, we could not go any further if we did not have our switch tip for this week. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shanti, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 110 is control your emotions. Now, I was thought about this because I found myself getting very, 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 very frustrated with, you know, God sending me to speak to people or just listen to people, because sometimes, you know, it's not always meant for you to speak. Sometimes you have to listen, you know, especially when we focus on the verse that say you have to be quick to hear and slow to speak. But I was just getting really, really, really fed up, because it's just like I'm listening to people talk in circles, and, you know, no one is at least, for me, I think what was really annoying me the most is not just the fact that, you know, you keep running into this brick wall, you keep bumping your head, but there's like no real attempt to even try to take the godly counsel that is being given to you. And I was like, okay, if I continue to allow myself to get really, really, really mad, if I continue to focus on certain things, I'm not doing a good job at controlling my emotions, and then I'm going to get angry. And I can't say I'm not held accountable for it. I am going to be held accountable, but I can't tell you how my anger is going to be displayed then after that point. You know, I can't tell you, well, this is what I'm going to say. This is not, I don't know. All I know is you're not going to like my response after that point. And part of my anger, you know, I had to learn to stop taking things, you know, so personal, because, you know, God has me speaking to a lot of people who knew me when. So pretty much there's not a whole lot of new people that God has had me, you know, position me to serve. There isn't a whole lot of new people that God is sending me to go back to and, you know, listen and give godly counsel and so on and so forth. So, you know, a lot of it, especially in the beginning, was, well, how could you not listen to me? How could you see the change that God is doing in my life, because you knew me when, and I ain't nowhere near perfect, but you see that there's a whole lot that I have stopped, and there's a whole lot that I'm now trying to make sure I take on, and yet you're still so oblivious to this. It's like almost like if a bum off the street just came to you and started speaking to you, and you were just so like, oh, get away from me, you're filthy. Like, that's how I felt like I was being treated, and that fed into my feelings and me getting upset. And one of the times I was, you know, praying and talking to God about it, and it came to mind, well, he brought to mind that, hello, your master, Jesus, went through this same thing, and we learned biblically that you're not going to go through anything that your teacher has not gone through. So he was rejected beyond measures, beyond levels, in ways that you couldn't even imagine. So what makes you think that you wouldn't experience a whole lot of that yourself? So I came across Mark 6, 1 through 3 in the Message version, which reads, he left there and returned to his hometown. His disciples came along. On the Sabbath, he gave a lecture in the meeting place. He made a real hit impressing everyone. We had no idea he was this good, they said. How did he get so wise all of a sudden, get such ability? But in the next breath, they were cutting him down. He's just a carpenter, Mary's boy. We've known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters. Who does he think he is? They tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling, and they never got any further. Now, verse 4 is in the New Living Version. I'm sorry, New Living Translation version. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Now, a few things really caught my attention when I read this. And one of them was, you know, a lot of people claim they don't like the Bible because it's not relatable and it's irrelevant. And especially reading the verses in the Message version, it reminded me of some slang that we say in the street. But anyway, that just shows that God made sure that he made sure this Bible was always going to be relevant regardless of which generation was reading it at which time. But one of the things that really caught my attention was how on one second, he's beautiful. How is he doing all these things? This is amazing. And then the very next word is something completely contrary. It's like you built him up and then you broke him down. And we experience that all the time. This is one of the reasons why God tells us not to invest in this world, because this is what this world does. When they see how they can benefit from you, so whatever he was saying in his hometown at that time, whatever he was saying, whatever lecture he was saying, they liked it at first. And then probably when he started saying something that was rattling a few feathers, it was like, yeah, I don't think I like him anymore. I don't know about all that. Yeah, I know he said, you know, he was good, and I was wondering where he get all these abilities and talents and skills from to speak like this, but maybe I was wrong. And it's like, really? But again, that's what we experience all the time. And if you think about when God has you go to people and initially tell things, they're all ears. They listening. Whether they're a believer or a non-believer, they're listening. And then when he starts to tell you to say some things that really hitting those spots, oh, I know I didn't have some things said to me that I went from, God is amazing. You need to trust him. Look at what he's done to me. Look at how he's changed me. Look at how he's worked on my anger, to I'm ready to fight you right now. And I would literally say those words, and I'm like, okay, now I'm sounding like the people who was talking about Jesus, okay? And another thing that really caught my attention was in verse 4 when he was saying, you know, I can't believe that I'm rejected here amongst my own people, which, again, I know especially for me, God has sent me back to people who knew me when, and that included family. It included ex-boyfriends. It included a current boyfriend. It included friends that I had at that point. And then it's like, well, how is it that I'm able to meet someone new and say whatever, and whether they like it or not, whether they agree with it or not, their reaction is nowhere near your reaction. And because of their unbelief, Jesus could not perform the miracles that God had sent him there to perform. And if we take nothing else from this, one of the main reasons why we have to make sure we control our emotions is because they're cheating themselves out of the miracles that God wants to do in their life. We're just a messenger. And I'm not saying just to downplay it, because being the messenger is, it's a job. It's a job. At the same time, we're going to now get ourselves in trouble because other people are interfering with their own blessings and their own progress. And I know that it hurts. It hurts a lot of the times, the things that they have to say to you and or about you, because sometimes people say it in your face. Sometimes they'll say it in your face and behind your back, or sometimes they just say it behind your back. But they are interfering with their own blessings. People reject you, and they cheat themselves out of it, despite how Jesus felt. And here's why we have to make sure we follow Jesus. Despite how he felt, he still went about doing what he was sent to do. He couldn't believe their disbelief. It says here, and he was amazed at their unbelief, but yet he still made sure he did his job. But when God told him to pull back, he had to make sure he pulled back. So, again, we have to make sure we're not interfering with his work, because I will raise both hands, both legs, both feet to say that I have allowed myself to interfere with God's work plenty of times. because he said, go do this, go say that, go say and do this. And because of the way they responded to me, and because I wasn't able to control my emotions, it was like, okay, I'm not doing that. Because it's only going to make me mad. They're just going to cuss me out. They're just going to reject me. And it's like, but they're not ultimately doing that to you. They're doing that to God. And it doesn't mean, again, that you won't be affected, but you have to really realize what's happening. Luke 9:41, New Living Translation. Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you? Then he said to the man, bring your son here. So you have to make sure that you read that chapter, because it speaks about how Jesus sent the disciples out to perform miracles and everything, but because their faith wasn't on point, it wasn't on the level that it should have been, when the man brought his son to be healed from being possessed by the demon, they weren't able to cast out the demon because of their lack of faith. And Jesus was annoyed. He was annoyed because it was like, I done invested all this time, all of my power into you the way the Father sent me to do, and you have every ability to do this, but you did it. And it's not that you couldn't, but because you're not putting in the faith that you have, now you weren't able to do what needed to be done. And he said, you know what, now after I done told you off, told these men off, come here, bring your son here. And the man brought his son, and Jesus cast out the demon, and then the son was healed. So it goes back to say that despite how upset Jesus was, he still had the ability to control his emotions. I'm sorry. He still chose to control his emotions, because we have the ability to, especially when you possess the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So we have the ability to. Do we choose to tap into that ability or not is the question. Jesus chose to tap into that ability, and just because he had to tell them off real quick didn't mean he didn't control his emotions, but he was still able to be very effective at his job. And how do we know? Because it tells us that the demon then was thrown out of the boy. If Jesus really went all crazy, like I'm telling y'all I have done plenty of times, he would have been just like the disciples, and he wouldn't have been able to be as effective, and the job wouldn't have been able to be done. So we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision of making the switch to being angry, to being wrathful, from being bitter, from just allowing our emotions to go crazy, to make sure we're making a switch to controlling our emotions so that we can do the job that God has sent us to do and leave the other people with their problems. If they choose to listen to you or not, if they choose to accept your counsel or not, that's on them. But remember, ultimately, it's not you that they're choosing. It's not your counsel that they're choosing. It's God. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you. What a real dynamic switch tip this week. Thank you so very much, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Okay, so let's get this benediction. 2 John 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Oh, we had a wonderful morning. Do we have any comments from the listeners regarding our twerking senator? Let me know. But, you know, we went from the twerking senator and losing sight of what her job is to now talking about hints for a successful relationship. And it's all the same, whether you want to believe it or not, it's all the same. So let's get those comments really quickly. Okay, Shantice, what you got?
Okay, a listener sent in, I feel that the senator created a distraction from her true job. Her job is not about her, but her work for the people she represents. Her actions were not connected to any cause to help create legislation or pass laws. It was just attention seeking. To be a senator is to be a representative to the people. And I'm sure there are more pressing matters in Rhode Island than you changing how senators are viewed. Gas going up, inflation, Black Lives Matter, Roe versus Wade, pick one. I don't care about the personal lives of our senators as long as they are not breaking the law. Just do your job.
All right. Thank you so much. Woo, what a powerful statement, listener. Thank you so much. Anything else, Shanti?
No, that's all.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. What a powerful, powerful statement. You know, as long as you do your job, and so rightly said that, you know, the attention that we were supposed to be giving based on the movement for the state that she's governing over was now marred, because now people are commenting and paying attention to what she's doing. And we have more responsibility in our relationships and what we have signed up to do. And that's pretty much, again, tied into our hint to a successful relationship. You know, we signed up to be a partner. And that's what the senator does. They partner up with us to help to make the state better. Well, you're partnering to make your lives better, to make the kingdom of God better. And when you lose sight of that, things go really, really astray. And I love the point that Lady Candy made when she said that, you know, the prayer together does not mean time synchronized, but focus synchronized, topic, concern synchronized, what's the matter at hand synchronized. Because like she said, you may not be able to always come together. And despite the fact that we know they pray together as a couple, but if most of their prayer is separate from one another, and if it's not on the same topic with the same goal and the same focus, then would it even matter? So, you know, I love that hint. I think that was my favorite, not just because it's, you know, it's geared toward Christ and God, but because it's geared toward reality and what we really need to focus on. And I think a lot of times we are focused on the wrong things when we're praying, and we're not focused on just making sure that we as a pair are in this thing for the same reason. We're focusing on the same thing. We're living the same life. We're trying to attain the same things. We want the same things for our children. You know, you're talking 25 years of marriage. That's a long time. They should be able to really tell us what works and what doesn't work, and for them to give us the hints for a successful relationship. We've been truly blessed this morning, because even coming from last week's dynamic conversation with the Burns regarding external threat, this just comes and puts like a stamp on it. And, you know, knowing that you're serving God to the fullest is what you need to be focused on. And when we submit to God first and then to our spouse second, we have nothing to accomplish but a successful relationship. So I want to make sure you got those nuggets this morning, and the Stevens sure made sure of it. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Oh, this is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank the Stevens, Pastor Jimmy and Lady Candy Stevens, for their wonderful, wonderful presentation this morning. And I want to thank Chantis and our Due Time crew, who's all getting together and doing what we have to do to please God and to enhance his kingdom. Thank you for listening and hanging out with us today and participating in our conversation. Please do not miss this opportunity to just gather yourself together and give God your life, because later is not promised to us. Deepen that relationship with God, because later is not promised to you either.
Until tomorrow, God spares our life, where we have our conversation regarding kingdom business. My two cents is back in effect. If you want to watch with us tonight, please hit us up. Give me a direct message on Coach for Christian Life. Until then, I love you.